Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
For a dining experience that makes you feel refreshed, rejuvenated, and even inspired, visit the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro. Located on a beautiful lakeside property in Brazil, the Bistro is a made-from-scratch boutique restaurant that is open April through December. At the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro, the only thing that might top their down-home cooking is the gorgeous lakeside view while you eat. Open Friday and Saturday for dinner and Sunday mornings for brunch. Escape to something different with the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro in peaceful Brazil. For reservations, menu options, and more, call 812-443-3003.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com.
Rob Kendall, Jim Merritt, Abdulkeem Shabazz. The program is State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. Let's meet the panel. Hello, 30 years in the Indiana Senate. That could only be one man, the great Jim Merritt.
Good morning.
And IndyPolitics.org. He's an author. He's a broadcaster. He's, an all-around great human being. Abdulkeem Shabazz, hello.
Well, that depends on who you talk to, but always good to be here.
Well, I tend to try to give you the benefit of the doubt. All right, so let's start with the governor's race. You reported recently here, Abdul, that you think things are about to get nasty.
Yes. With so many undecided voters, as we polled and we mentioned last week, nearly a third of the voters still undecided as to where they're going to go. Mike Braun having sort of plateaued at 33% in the last couple of polls. Eric Doden and Brad Chambers are millionaires. They're about to spend a bunch of money going after Mike Braun to maybe peel away some of his support, get some of those undecided voters. And also, too, Mike Braun's also a millionaire, so he's going to be pushing back, basically trying to coast until the May primary.
Yeah, because so far, that fifth congressional race, I mean, you got Sparks calling Chuck Goodrich China Chuck. You got Goodrich running ads about what a nut job Sparks is. And then you got Raju with that ad that makes you want to sing along and,
pledge allegiance to the flag.
Yeah, buy an apple pie and some vanilla ice cream and eat it on your front porch. I mean, the fifth congressional race, Mayor, has been way more entertaining than the governor's race.
Absolutely. And, Robert, it's really sad. And I think we can all agree that negative campaigning works. And when it comes across in a wave, it could bite in and nibble into Braun's lead. And Braun always talked to U.S. Senator Braun usually has spoken about the idea of he's not going to self-fund. He's not putting his own money in. But, you remember back in 2023, all the way back there, that he had a $1 million donor out of Chicago. And so he's got a lot of money that is coming in, and we'll probably see a lot of it on display in the next couple of weeks.
Do you, Abdul, do you have any idea, like, what is going to happen? Like, what are we talking about here? I mean, I assume the negativity is going to be at Braun, right?
Yes, because, like I said, Braun is the front runner, so when you're the front runner, you got the target on your back. I haven't heard what it is yet. I heard, I think I put this in the cheat sheet this past weekend. By the way, you can get a cheat sheet subscription, $100 a year if you're a new subscriber, $50 if you're an old subscriber.
Oh, you take care of your old-timey friends.
Of course. Also, take care of the people with me from day one.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be bad, and it could change the race, change the dynamics of the campaign, but I don't know exactly what it is yet.
Because what could come out on the guy? I mean, what could it be at this point that people would go, oh my gosh, that's so
well,
so
just
surprising.
Repeating some of the ideas that his opponents have put out there in previous, the idea of immunity for police officers and just his your favorite raising taxes at the state house.
Yeah, the gas tax.
Yes, and but also, Abdul, that attack ad that was on Chambers from what looks like the Braun Super PAC was deadly. It was ugly.
Yes. Yes, it was. And it's only going to get worse.
Great radio. Yeah.
So I saw Doden, or Braun rather, is running ads against Doden now. So clearly Doden honked him off because Doden was running ads about the
Why would you tax somebody that has 10%?
Well, because I think he was sending a message to, like, you know, hey, little child.
Mm-hmm. And the Chambers, too, I guess.
Well, this is the thing. It's like, I guess at some point you feel like you got to punch. But, okay, Mary, you're the seasoned politician in the room. Mm-hmm. Is punching down ever a good idea?
I frankly think that they see something that they needed to make sure that they needed to keep those individuals down in the polls. So if you've got as much money as he does, why not? I would be campaigning about Jim Merritt, but the bottom line is
you're very nice.
They see something kind of percolating out there, and they wanted to stamp it out.
I guess it's those third of voters who are undecided. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones who are going to make a difference in this race. Mm-hmm. And by going after the other opponents, technically you have to, mm-hmm. because you want to keep them where they are. Because remember, Doden, Chambers, and Crouch are all in that 10% range. Curtis is at 5, Jamie Rittenour was at 1, and 30% were still undecided in our last poll. And that number has been pretty consistent with what we've seen so far. So by going after your opponents, even though they're not the front runner per se, they can still catch up with you. So
okay, so with Braun, he's the only guy I've seen any signs for in the entire state. Like, I mean, on yards or whatever. Mm-hmm. I've not seen a single Rittenour sign. I haven't seen a single Hill sign. I haven't seen a single Chambers.
We all know yard signs don't vote, but Chambers has quite a presence in Hamlin County.
He has yard signs?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
He does.
He has not. He has not yet captured the imagination of Hendricks County. It appears.
Well,
he's got a bunch of signs along Meridian Kessler too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that kind of is the dynamic, right? Like, mm-hmm. he's the rich guy with the, no offense, the establishment really like him.
Of course, he's an outsider.
Oh, totally. No doubt. I mean, nothing but outsiders rise to the head of the IEDC, Merritt.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're, what is the close on, because early, you already voted, right?
Yes.
And would you like to, here in a minute, reveal how you voted to the, I mean, I just one race. I don't care what else you tell, but... I mean, early voting started. So if you're going to go, if you got some...
Yeah, we're taping on Wednesday today.
...nuclear bomb in your arsenal of your Chambers or... what is Crouch doing with all of her money, by the way?
Well, it just...
Right up the middle.
But where? Like, I don't see her on TV. I don't...
It remains to be seen if she has any money left.
I mean, where is she? I mean, yeah. I see these Chambers ads, Doden ads, Braun ads.
She went to a Rotary Club meeting.
Boy, that's going to just...
Yeah, I saw her on Facebook with that.
Which is not there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, but the thing is, those are people who vote in primaries.
Yes.
That's what you got to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And when you advertise on television, you're going toward the more general audience, but the general audience isn't necessarily the Republican primary voter, which is why I've seen this on television. It's been on cable, a more targeted...
Right.
Audience as opposed to just your regular broadcast mm-hmm. television.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were one of the other three, Chambers, Doden, Crouch, what's your play on Braun in the next 2 weeks? Because obviously people are going to start making up their minds then, or have made up their minds, or will be voting then. What is it? I mean, what is the tack on him? He's clearly screwed up the FEC reports, and he takes no ownership of that whatsoever. That's a big deal to me. The biggest thing of all to me is the tax increases. They haven't... I mean, nobody's running an ad on that, period, which blows my mind. And then you got the qualified immunity stuff that Doden's hit him on. I guess, are those the three? Those are the three bullets left in the chamber?
I think so. I also think that really none of the campaigns, and this is a hat tip to Eric Holcomb, Governor Holcomb, when he wrote that article for the IBJ with what he thinks they ought to be, what they ought to be thinking about.
Pretty bold of the guy who got the governor's office handed to him to tell people how they should they should campaign.
Right, but I would be if I was challenging Braun, I would be talking about no one really has a vision of how they will handle the state, and they're running into this is going to be a very flat budget this next session of the legislature, and talking about. How revenues are not escalating or ascending as much as they have in the past. And right now, you don't want to dampen anything, but there are a lot of problems this state is facing coming 2025.
It is State House Happenings. Rob Kendall, Dulkeep Shabazz, Jim Merritt.
You've already voted, right? Nobody has to be nice to you anymore, right? I always wait till election day about 4:50 or so. That way people have to be nice to me, fake it until the last hour.
I don't know about people being nice, but the bottom line is I haven't made up my mind.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you still?
And nobody wants me to endorse them.
I'd love your endorsement.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who I'm going to vote for.
Well, there's a difference. You can explain it. There's a difference between voting for someone and endorsing them. Like, I'm going to have to vote in a bunch of races. I'm not endorsing any of these people.
Right.
But your vote is an endorsement.
Well, yes, no. Yeah. Like, endorsement is. Hey, everybody should go out and vote for this person. They're great. We have my wholehearted support.
Yeah, I'm going to get my friends to put yard signs. I'm going to maybe knock on a couple doors, or I'm going to talk nicely about them on State House happenings. And you know, right. No, I haven't decided who I'm going to vote
for. You ever been this late in the process before you've made up your mind before?
No, I this is the first time that I have really not made a decision who to vote for a high office like U.S. Senate or governor. It just strikes me that I know some of the clouds and the storms that are approaching Indiana, and I just don't know who I want at the helm to see through those.
None of them have a vision, right? There's no.
Because Jim's right. Indiana is headed toward a potential fiscal cliff with education funding, with Medicaid funding, with our state revenues, and whoever's going to be taking over the show for the next 4 years has got to have some sort of plan or some sort of contingency. Like, hey, how do you get through, you know, these tough financial challenges we're going to have and still meet all the state's obligations that we have going on as well?
Not only that, Abdul, they've got to have the mettle to overturn state government because the Republicans have been in charge since Mitch 20 years ago.
Yeah, you guys have totally screwed everything up.
and they need to start talking about road funding again. How EVs affect road funding, because as we've talked about with the gas tax and whatnot, there are a lot of situations with state government that they haven't handled that FSSA needs complete rehabilitation or it needs to be taken apart and re-put back together again. So there are a lot of problems that are facing state government that no one is talking about.
Okay, let's talk about what I think is actually the most interesting thing going on this primary season. Mm-hmm. And it's not even an actual primary. Mm-hmm. It's a shadow primary. Mm-hmm. And Abdul, you'll appreciate this. It's like a Cold War, right? Like, there was not an actual war. It was the Cold War. It's the cold primary. And that is these delegates.
Yes.
There is no doubt, if you look at, and I had this conversation with somebody who has been to multiple state conventions as a delegate, I think five of them this guy's been to, and he told me the other day, he goes, there's a whole bunch of people, this guy lives in a central Indiana suburb, and he said, there's a whole bunch of people, I have no idea who these people are, he said, there is zero doubt they were told to file, it's like, if I don't know who you are at this point, that ain't a coincidence, mm-hmm. There's clearly a shadow primary over the whole Micah Beckwith thing.
Did you know I'm running for delegate?
I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
And 45 other people are running for 10 spots.
Yes, I saw that.
It's going to be really interesting, Hamilton County, as to what is going to happen. Yes, Robert, you're square on. It is going to be a very interesting point because, you know, you got 45 names. Just you walk into a Carmel precinct. And you're looking at all these names, and you don't know any of them, and you're expected to vote for these people, and it's going to be quite a competition when those delegates are picked. It's going to be a real competition that who the establishment wants, who the governor nominee wants to be the lieutenant governor, and it's going to be quite entertaining.
This is why my wife's name is number 4 on the list.
Oh boy,
how did she pull that off? It's S. Don't they go in ABC?
Evan Shabazz.
Oh, yes. Of course, right? Yeah. I am a woman here.
Merit's way down the.
Well, but this is part two parts. One, it is how boring the governor's race has been. But two, I mean, it's clear, and I said this from the beginning a year ago, Micah was going to be the most interesting thing going on in Indiana politics and government. And
I hate to say it, but you were right.
Thank you. I know that breaks your heart. Because I have no idea what to base this on other than just my own observation. I think he is going to clean up in the counties that have a lot of places called Ville or Berg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's been everywhere. And kudos to the pastor. He's done a very good job of campaigning for these delegates. And like we've talked about, 1,600 or so, he just needs 800 votes.
Yeah.
And the whole idea behind it was solid. That's why I've said on this program, I've tweeted that my friend Daniel Elliott has kept his reputation and his connections to the delegates that nominated him for state treasurer. He's kept all those relationships fresh. And so when Braun wins or if there's an upset, he knows all 1,600 of the people that he campaigned for just a couple of years ago, and he will be right in the middle of the lieutenant governor.
Okay, let's explore that for a second. Mm-hmm. But by the way, before you do that, Abdul, you reported Mike has between like what 600 and 700 delegates
about,
that are
600 delegates
that are running for him.
Yeah.
So the number, because he's got to not get smoked in the donut counties, right? Because he's probably going to win the Vils and the Bergs.
Absolutely.
But if he gets, you know, if he gets beat 60-30 or 65-35 in these donut counties, that's a lot of Vils and Bergs you're going to have to make up for.
Well, Hamlin County.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what is it? If he walks in there with, let's say, of the 600 he has running, if he gets 450 and they'll know, that's a tough ask if you're Braun, right, to have that convention fight. I mean, is that a fight worth having to split the Republican Party?
I would say if he was 500-600, I would say probably not. But 400, I think that's still enough for a contested primary.
I love it. I can't tell you. I'm so excited for the convention this year.
Let's just say Braun's the nominee. How deeply seated is Senator Braun in the grassroots of the Republican Party, or is it, you know, where is his support coming from? Now, who really knows how that goes? The primary voter and the delegate voter, if you will, are totally different. And so Pastor Beckwith, Micah has a very good chance if he's got 400 to 450 votes going into the convention. No question.
It is State House Happenings. That's Jim Merritt. That's Abdul Akib Shabazz. Now, here's what we're going to do, because Abdul's got a skedoodle out to the pastors of lawmaking, and or not lawmaking, but lawyering and making money.
Getting money.
So we're going to go here for about 5 more minutes, and then we're going to pause, and Merritt and I are going to come back and wrap up the show. Abdul, over the next week, what are a couple things people should totally keep their eye on in terms of whatever races? Because I think like the 4th congressional district to me is interesting. Charles Buchwalter has no money, but he has signs everywhere in the 4th congressional district.
Once again, yard signs.
I get it, but I don't see no support for Jim. Like I've seen one. There's a big Jim Baird sign in Plainfield I've seen. Other than that, I don't think I've seen another one. Now again, doesn't mean that he's not going to win 70% of the vote, but I've seen Jim Baird or these incumbents have competition before. I've not seen signs for opposition like I've seen before, but just whatever, wherever, pick a district. Jefferson Shreve, you reported, you think he might be having a chance to win, which blows my mind. What should people keep an eye on over the next week or so?
Brace yourself for just how the negative campaign is about to just go full force, whether the governor's race, whether it is the 8th district, the 4th district, the 3rd district. It's about to get real ugly, real fast, real quick, and you can tell who the front runner is because that'd be the person who'd be bearing the brunt of all the attacks.
How is Shreve? You said in the cheat sheet, you think Shreve can win?
Yes.
How is that possible given what he imploded? How he imploded
because,
during the mayor's race?
Because once again, you've got to be when your ballot is as long as a CVS pharmacy receipt. You got to remember that number one. It doesn't take a majority to win. You only need a plurality, which is like 25-26%. And so, if you look at the 6th district, I would say the soft, you know, anti-Trump Republicans are probably like 25% and some change. Everybody else is running to be the Trump guy. Shreve is sort of kind of the Trump guy, sort of kind of not the Trump guy, so he may have that sort of inroad right there. Also, too, you got to remember, too, he's the only one with money to blast television ads.
Right. Do people in Richmond even know about his gun stance? Because I haven't heard a single ad run against Shreve, like from Speedy or what's a carrier.
Because they don't have the money to do it.
Right, that's my point. So if you live in Richmond, do you know his highly egregious anti-gun stance when he was mayor? There's a chance you may not even know, Merritt.
No, I you don't know. But you also don't know that Jeff Rotz, who is an outstanding chairman of the Education Committee in the Senate, Senator Rotz is running, but he hasn't had the money to reach Indianapolis, much less use you know, the media and what is left of television in Richmond, Indiana. So Rotz is a very good candidate, but nobody knows he's in it. And so bottom line is Jefferson Shreve has that name ID from the mayor election and has run a very good campaign on the airwaves. And so I think Jefferson Shreve has an outstanding chance to be the next congressman from that district.
All right, Abdul, we'll close with this. You voted, early voted, and the only one I would like you to tell the story of is who you voted for Congress, because you live here in Indianapolis. So would you be willing to tell us who you voted for and why?
Yes, I voted for Jennifer Pace.
And she's no longer with us?
She's no longer with us. Jennifer, yeah, she passed away a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I voted for Jennifer Pace because she would make a much better candidate dead than Gabe Whitley ever would alive.
I've been waiting all show for you to tell that. That's was there anybody there when you voted, by the way? Were there lines or
it's a couple people.
Yeah.
It was only 100 people voted early in person on the first day of Marin County voting.
Very good. All right. Okay, so we'll take a break. Merritt's gonna join me to wrap up the show. And Abdul, you're the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're looking for a weekend away, then book the beautiful Honeysuckle Hill Cottage in peaceful Brazil. Located next to the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro, the Honeysuckle Hill Cottage is a beautiful lakeside property featuring a 3-bedroom, 2-bath bed and breakfast. Quiet, isolated, and an incredible view. The Honeysuckle Hill Cottage is the getaway you deserve without breaking the bank. For reservations, call 812-443-3003 or visit honeysucklehillb.com to view the cottage.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com.
Rob Kendall, and for, well, the remainder of the show, Jim Merritt, the program of State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. So let's go down to southern Indiana, and this remains a story that I am just blown away by, that more people in Indianapolis media are not covering the story and not asking the governor what he knew and when about this. So Jamie Noel, former sheriff of Clark County, former county chairman in Clark County, was part of the Republican Central Committee. And as anybody in politics knows, one of Eric Holcomb's very best friends and closest political allies has now been remanded into custody. Of course, he's facing, what is it, like 25 felony charges related to a whole bunch of different stuff that is just egregious. And now the judge in this case has ordered him to be taken back into custody. What do they call it? Contempt of court? Is that what it is?
It is contempt of court. And not only that Mr. Noel has these problems, his wife and his daughter, and they're going to be looking into how their tuition and higher education was paid for. And Robert, this is a total breakdown of local government, and it's not just Clark County, and how the people that are in charge of these counties didn't know that. If they did know, they let this go by with all the accused has been purchasing vehicles and reselling them, and it's a disaster that. It's just a collapse of local government.
Yeah, so he 60 days, basically, he's going to be heading to the pokey.
I tweeted the governor, or excuse me, the judge's hearing on the contempt of court.
Yeah, he was not happy.
And he about broke his...
It related to, obviously, Noel has all these felony charges against him. And as you said, the wife and the daughter are now implicated in this.
10 and 5.
So the judge allowed him out. They allowed him bail, but he had very clear guidelines related to a whole bunch of things. One of them was firearms he was allowed to possess.
Yes, they searched his home, and he had, it's been reported, 180 weapons in his home.
And they let him keep one, right? They said you could keep one for personal protection. Well, then it turned out he still had more than one.
Yes.
And I was thinking about this yesterday. Look, this guy, Knoll, and I've known Jamie Knoll for a very, very long time. And the very first time I ran into Jamie Knoll, I thought there was something off about this guy. And that was 11-ish years ago now. But to know they've basically got you dead to rights. And the feds are looking into him, too. I think all this stuff is state stuff that they've got him on
IRS,
right now.
IRS, I'm sure.
I mean, he is looking at a mountain of stuff. And for it to be out, you got to have a good idea. This could be the last time I see freedom for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And to have these firearms when the judge is giving you very specific instructions, unbelievable the arrogance of this guy. To have done that.
Yes, and Abdul and I were talking about this, that first of all, that poor gavel.
the judge was not happy.
But you around the country, you see so many people that are in the judiciary and prosecutors that are just letting criminals go. It, you know, good on this judge who stuck him in jail for, he could be in there for up to 180 days. And for him to pledge and write and sign his name to the fact that he only has one weapon in his gun to defend himself, and then he has more, it just from top down.
Well, it's the height
down,
of arrogance.
Yes, it is. And it's just, it's awful.
It's
this situation has occurred, and it demonstrates how broken down these counties are in the way of keeping track of their public servants.
We got about 2 minutes left here on State House Happening. So, real quick, the story to me, though, is, look, Knoll's a, whatever's going to happen to Knoll is going to happen. And it looks like they got him caught dead to rights. And the wife looks like she's caught dead to rights. And obviously the daughter could be involved in this now. Whatever's going to happen to him is going to happen. The bigger question to me is, what did Eric Holcomb know and when? Because this guy was clearly living a lifestyle that far exceeded what he should have been living as a local county sheriff. Mm-hmm. And everybody knew about that child he had with another woman. And everybody, I mean, if I knew about it, clearly everybody else in politics that's connected
right.
knew about it.
But also the...
How did Holcomb not know that one of his best friends and closest political allies is having all this stuff go on?
Well, not only that, he was on the short list for the superintendent of...
State Police. Yeah.
This is just incredible that this actually happened, but it's also a breakdown in the media.
Nobody's asking Holcomb.
Yeah, people in Indianapolis really don't know this is going on, and I've said this, I'll say this for many, many years now. Right now, the media is Rob Kendall, it's Nikki Kelly,
yeah.
It's Abdul, maybe a little Wren. In there with Importantville.
Yeah.
It's no longer the Indianapolis Star. Joseph Gilardin was an investigative reporter for the Star. There's no more Kevin Rader at the WTHR, Jim Shella, Norm Cox, even Gordon Englehart from the Louisville Courier. Courier.
They're all gone.
They're all gone. And so,
I mean, many of them are still alive. I know we didn't just think they're dead.
They're not in the media anymore. The watchdogs are not out there. It's a breakdown in the media. And Indianapolis Star was a statewide newspaper at one point. And that's what you're seeing, is that something that is kind of localized in southern Indiana has not approached Indianapolis. And it's a shame, because the media is there for a purpose, number
yep.
one, to report the news, but also to be a watchdog over the public servant.
All right, Jim Merritt, thank you for helping wrap up State House Happenings. You're the best.
Jim underline Merritt.
Oh, that's right. Jim underscore underline.
Yeah,
underline.
And Merritt in the morning.
And Merritt in the morning podcast. Jim Merritt,
you're
the best.
Gotta get that in.
Thank you.
Think
back to when you were a kid. Remember dinner or lunch at grandma's? Down home cooking that left you feeling refreshed and rejuvenated, and oftentimes with plenty of leftovers to keep the good memories coming. That's what it's like at the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro, located on beautiful lakeside property in Brazil. Open Friday and Saturday for dinner and Sunday for brunch, owners Jody and Andy Lorman would love for you to be their guests for a dining experience that's totally worth the drive. The Honeysuckle Hill Bistro. Call 812-443-3003 for reservations.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com.
Rob Kendall, Jim Merritt, Abdulkeem Shabazz, the program is State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. Find Abdul on Twitter at ATTYAbdul, at ATTYAbdul. Jim Merritt on Twitter at Jim_Merritt, at Jim_Merritt. And me, I'm on Twitter at Rob M. Kendall, at Rob M. Kendall. And you can hear me weekdays 9 until noon, weekdays 9 until noon, the Kendall and Casey Show on 93.1 WIBC. For Jim Merritt, for Abdulkeem Shabazz, I'm Rob Kendall. You've been listening to State House Happenings.